You see, from Joshua chapter 1, we haven't seen a chapter like last week. It has all been smooth sailing for God's people, from God's promises, from the river crossing at Jordan, the festive celebrations of Passover and circumcision. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jericho's walls come crumbling down. Last week was a unique turn of events. It all came to an unexpected defeat because of the things that were stolen in Jericho. But now we're going to see today that after sin was dealt with, it was time to move on for the Israelites. It was time to turn over a new leaf and witness God's favor. Yes, his people mess up. Yes, we stuff up all the time. Communities are broken. But it doesn't mean that God is done with us. He comes to restore us, pours out his favor, and gives us an opportunity to serve him again. You see, I believe whatever we're facing in this lifetime, the hardships that we're facing, the depression, the anxiety, the sickness, spiritual droughts that we face, family pressures, today I hope that you walk away implanted in your heart and mind that God's promises never fail. His presence and power causes us to be strong and courageous for whatever we have to face in this season and in the many seasons to come. So today I have a message titled, Favor Restored. Let's pray. Favor Restored. Father God, we thank you for this morning where we're able to just come before your word to listen to what you have to say. Lord, speak to us through your spirit as we delve into Joshua chapter 8. Lord, open up our spiritual eyes and see what you have to say and how you want to impact us today. Lord, may your word come alive for us once again, and may we see Jesus Christ, and may we turn our lives to him and give him our hearts and our souls and our strength. Lord, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, have you ever felt so down in the dumps that you feel hopeless and you don't really know how to pick yourself up? I'm sure we've all experienced seasons of feeling depressed, anxious, worried about tomorrow, and there's a feeling that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you've been there recently. Perhaps it's a boss's disapproval, a colleague's disregard, friends not really supporting you through tough times, maybe finances not working out, marriage at the brink of disaster. A lot of these things happen in life cause us to actually spiral down these moments of feeling confused, upset, feeling down in the dumps. You see, no matter how much positive thinking we are taught in today's culture, or how much we can hype ourselves up, or how many good quotes we can read, the reality that we face in this broken world is that there are times where we will be uncertain about tomorrow. And when we're uncertain about tomorrow, it causes us to feel depressed, anxious, and even sometimes worthless. As Christians, we can have these emotions as well. We're not free from these emotions. As Christians, we can question whether God is there. Is God really fighting our battles? Hey, my family relationships are at breaking point. Things at church aren't working out. Expectations are not met between child and parent. We question God's goodness. God, are you really there? Are you really fighting for us? Where is your presence? How come you're not working? Is there a way out? This week I was doing quiet time and I came across Psalm 69, verses 1 to 3, where there was a king in Israel by the name of King David, who depicts a lot of what we have felt in our life and in different seasons, feeling down in the dumps. And as I read this, think about how relatable this is for us. Psalm 69, 1 to 3, King David says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me." How relatable are these psalms? How many of us have felt these emotions before during the darkest hours of our lives? It's almost as if King David wrote these psalms for us. And if we're honest with ourselves today, we all long for that help and restoration from God in our darkest times. I just want to share something. Earlier this week, I had a very similar experience to King David. There were a few things that weren't working out in my life. I was feeling quite upset. It was out of my control. And then on top of that, I started to think about Mother's Day. It's been 4 years since I've seen my mom. And not only that, at the start of the week, my parents told me that they were both struck with COVID in Australia with quite severe symptoms. They had high fever, difficulty breathing, and there were like two times where they were nearly sent to the ER because the fever was so high. And at that age for them, it was really hard because they couldn't be up and about. They needed someone to take care of them, cook for them. Both of them were weak. And when I heard this news, I have to say, I was feeling down in the dumps. On top of all the things that I've got on at church, things aren't working out in some areas of my life, and then feeling totally helpless with all that's going on, and thinking like, how can I help my parents? I'm here in the States. I can't physically be there for them to help them cook, clean, take them to the ER if they need, get groceries for them. And in that moment of confusion and feeling anxious, I snapped. I snapped in a moment of anger, in a fit of rage. And immediately when I snapped, it was at that moment I knew I sinned. I sinned against God because it was a failure on my part to trust His goodness and faithfulness. I messed up. It took me a couple of minutes to snap out of it, and after that I immediately sat down, I quieted my heart, and I just prayed. I said, God, I need you. I've stuffed up. I've messed up. Immediately, the minutes and the hours following, I could feel in tangible ways God's presence and power just reassuring me, just comforting me and helping me focus my attention on Him. And it was at that moment when I turned, when I repented, it was as if God just came to surround me with His angels and just say, Ben, it's okay. It's okay. Now, just a quick side note, not relating to the book of Joshua, but today is Mother's Day. And before I get into the message, I do have to say something about Mother's Day. As I was reflecting on this week's experience, I think many of you here, especially young people among us, you have it quite nice. You're physically with your moms. You haven't been separated from your mom because of life circumstances at work. Some of us who have traveled to another country, some of you parents here, you've traveled all the way from China or Taiwan to make a life here, to study and start up a family, and then because of those circumstances, it's harder for you to go back to China or Taiwan or wherever it may be. And so it's been a long time that you've been separated from your parents. And I was reflecting on this. I haven't seen my mom in 4 years. I thought about our young people at our church. And I thought, sometimes we can take our parents for granted. Because the tendency that we have in this culture is that we're smarter, we're wiser, we're more advanced. Our parents are old school, they don't understand anything. But if you think about it, our parents, right, they're navigating how to raise their kids in this culture. They're being parents for the first time. No one's taught, like, Riff and I are becoming a parent. We're going to be parents for the first time, as far as I know, right? We're going to be parents for the first time. Right? And so we're going to stuff up. I guarantee you, we're going to stuff up a lot. And I hope when we do stuff up, that our kid will be like, it's okay. You know? You're being parents for the first time. You know? So, because I started to think, you know, in our generation, we need to show love and patience to our parents. And I know it's hard, but when my mom called me earlier this week, she told me that in the middle of the night, when her lungs started to collapse, she thought at any moment she would have passed away. And when I heard that call, and when I heard that, I froze because I thought, hey, man, like, What if she passed away? What if, you know? And it just made me want to share that with our young people today. Appreciate your mothers while you still can. Ruth said earlier this week to me that our moms may not always be right, but they're always on our side. Right? I like that. It's very quotable, isn't it? Our moms may not always be right, but they are always on our side. So I just want you guys to think about that for a moment. Anyways, it was in those moments of failure this week and weakness and sin and that turning to God and seeking his face, it made me think of what the Bible says. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. In other words, when we're still helpless, when we're still in sin, God pours out his favor upon us. And you know, it got me thinking, this was the case with the Israelites. After what had happened last week in Joshua 7, when the people were feeling anxious and worried and even depressed after what happened at camp, where sin abounds at Jericho, grace abounds all the more at the city of Ai. Now think about that. Where sin abounds with Achan at Jericho, grace abounds all the more at the city of Ai. And so we're going to see that from today's story. Where there is sin, where there are feelings of defeat, feeling confused and hopeless, distant from God, what happens is that God steps into the situation and restores us. And he not only restores us, but he goes all the way. He pours out his presence and favor upon us so that you and I have the courage to face whatever we need to face. So turn your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 to 8. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 to 8. I'm just going to read the first section of our passage today. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king. But this time, you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town." So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 of his best warriors and sent them out at night with these orders: "Hide in ambush close behind the town and be ready for action. When our main army attacks the men of Ai, we'll come out to fight as they did before, and we will run away from them. We will let them chase us until we have drawn them away from the town. For they will say, 'The Israelites are running away from us as they did before.' Then while we are running from them, you will jump up from your ambush and take possession of the town. For the Lord your God will give it to you. Set the town on fire as the Lord had commanded. You have your orders." Now, right after dealing with the sin in the camp, after their repentance, God leads Israel into the city of Ai to destroy the city of Ai. Now, what's different here is this. There is a positive command. In verse 2, it says, "But this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves." So immediately we see, what is God's response to Israel's abuse of grace last week? More grace. Isn't that amazing? After Israel repented, God pours out more grace upon them. I mean, this is very different to how humans work, doesn't it? Like, when we sin or when we mess up as kids, our parents say, like, "You're going to get more punishment if you do it again." Here, after Israel repented, God's grace comes upon them and he says to them, "You can take any of the plunder and the livestock for yourselves." God doesn't withhold gifts from his people when they turn and repent. In fact, what God does is that he increases his generosity to a repentant Israel, giving them the spoils of war. Think about this. You can also see this story in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. A wayward son, he turns and repents. What does the father do? He lavishes him with gifts. God is a great restorer, and he does this with great sensitivity. God was no longer angry with Israel since atonement has been made for sin. Then the task was to go ahead with the conquest. So first speaks by saying something very reassuring. And that's, I believe some of you need to hear that today. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Can you imagine how scared and discouraged the people would have been after what happened in Joshua chapter 7? If I was one of Achan's friends from last week, when Achan and his whole family were wiped out and God's anger was poured out, I probably would have been paralyzed with fear, not wanting to go to battle. But that's not the case here. Because God said, hey, you've repented. I'm going to now lavish you with gifts. Do not be afraid or discouraged. If I was Joshua and the men, I would have felt greatly encouraged, because this same affirmation of do not be afraid or discouraged reminds the people of God when God said that to Moses, do not be afraid or discouraged. Linking it back to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Think about it. Why does God encourage his people? Do not be afraid or discouraged. And I think the reason is this. The Lord knows our feelings, and he knows that we can be afraid. And he knows we can hide behind fear and discouragement, especially after we sin and mess up. You see, what the accuser does and what the devil does is that he uses fear to control us. Fear paralyzes. Fear distorts reality. Fear forces us to retreat rather than move forward. He uses fear to occupy us. And this probably was what the Israelites were feeling. They were paralyzed with fear. Their reality was turned upside down when they lost the first battle in the city of Ai. It caused them to retreat and not move forward. That is why in this scenario, God being the God he is, steps in with peace and assurance and says, do not be afraid or discouraged. God had not changed. His wrath has been satisfied. Joshua and the men of Israel had no reason to fear. Israel's army could proceed with confidence because God promised, I have given you the city of Ai, the people, the city, and the land. You see, as Christians today, I think we can identify with this. Think about it. Often in our struggle with sin, temptation, things that go wrong with our lives, we give ourselves over to fear. We're paralyzed with fear. Our reality gets disordered and we think, oh, what's the point of moving forward if I'm already going to fall back into sin? What's the point of loving someone at church when I'm already going to get hurt by another church member? Hey, what's the point of doing things for the kingdom of God when things don't really turn out my way? You see, fear causes us to not move forward. Don't ever think like that, because if you let fear take place in your heart, you put yourself in a prison and it stops you from being all that God intended for you on this earth. You know, John Newton, a former slave trader who turned to be an English clergy, quotes this. He says, if the Lord be with us, we have no cause of fear. His eye is upon us, his arm over us, his ear open to our prayer, his grace sufficient, his promise unchangeable. The Israelites and Joshua needed to step out into this new territory, knowing that God was now with them. They need not fear, they need not be discouraged. God is with them. Now, did God pull through? Indeed. Not only was his presence with them, his power was working with them, showing them how to go about this battle with the city of Ai. His wisdom and detail were telling the Israelites, do what I have commanded. And you can see this play of words in the next section from Joshua 8, 18 to 23. Turn with me there. Joshua 8, 18 to 23. Then the Lord said to Joshua, point the spear in your hand to Ai, for I will hand the town over to you. Joshua did as he was commanded. As soon as Joshua gave this signal, all the men in ambush jumped up from their position and poured into the town. They quickly captured it and set it on fire. When the men of Ai looked behind them, smoke from the town was filling the sky and had nowhere to go. For the Israelites who had fled into the direction of the wilderness now turned on their pursuers. When Joshua and all the other Israelites saw that the ambush had succeeded and that smoke was rising from the town, they turned and attacked the men of Ai. Meanwhile, the Israelites who were inside the town came out and attacked the enemy from the rear. So the men of Ai were caught in the middle with Israelite fighters on both sides. Israel attacked them, and not a single person survived or escaped. Only the king of Ai was taken alive and brought to Joshua. Joshua was told to hold out his hand with a spear as a signal for the ambush force to begin their attack on Ai. God's provision was evident here. It was God who was going to give them the victory. You see, the spear itself was not going to give the victory. It was God, God's hand. You can see the correlation. Think about it. The staff of Moses, when Israel went into the battle against the Amalekites and the parting of the Red Sea, it was the staff of Moses being held up high. Here we also see Joshua holds the spear up high. It is almost telling us that it's God's outstretched hand who leads his people into victory. So what happened was that the men of Ai were caught in an ambush, and the Israelite men trapped them from all sides. And the Israelites, acting upon divine orders, let no one escape. And only Ai's king was brought alive to Joshua, and later he was executed. This ultimate victory of the Israelites in the city of Ai demonstrates to us a very important truth, which is also linked to last week's chapter. God is a God of renewed opportunities. God is a God of renewed opportunities. Think about it. Though Israel transgressed the law, God did not give up on his covenant people. He corrected them, he forgave their sin, but he also forgave and brought his people back to Ai, and they were able to experience triumph and victory. You know, perhaps some of us today are facing some brokenness from our past. Maybe something that we're facing, a sin that we've committed, and we've sought after the forgiveness of Christ's blood, but those memories of our transgressions, those memories of wronging people, constantly pop up in our minds. And we think, well, God's never going to use me. God's never going to forgive me. But today's chapter actually shows us that God is a God of renewed opportunities. When guilt and transgression say to us, you have no place in God's kingdom, God says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, God says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never ceases. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. That's what God says to us. His mercies begin afresh each morning. This is what the Israelites experienced at the city of Ai. God's mercy for them experienced through his presence and power. His mercies begin afresh each morning. There are no more grudges to overcome, no probational period to serve. Israel, again, enjoy full standing with God. God can take our brokenness, gives us a renewed opportunity so that we can taste and see his goodness over our lives. Dear friends, this is the God we worship. When every other god holds grudges and has this angry face on their statue and the idols, God is a God of mercy and forgiveness towards his people. And just to wrap up things, I just want to share from a minor prophet, Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20, and get the worship team to come up. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20, where is another God like you, who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever, because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love, as you promised to our ancestors Abraham and Jacob long ago. Where is another God like you? In some translations says, there is no God like you. Indeed, there is no God like the God of Israel. No God who pardons sin and forgives us. No God who takes our brokenness and sin and throws them to the bottom of the ocean, like what was described in the prophet Micah. This made me think of a time when I was a young boy. In the morning, my dad wanted to take me on a fishing trip. And my dad spent the whole morning trying to set up this child-friendly fishing rod, all right? So that I could go alongside him to go fishing. And finally, when we get to the lake, being the naughty boy I was, I thought it would be pretty funny to let loose the whole line and then throw the rod as far as I could into the lake. And so when I did that, everything went flying out. The line, the anchor, the bait, the hook. All my dad's hard work was messed up in that moment of stupidity. The bait, the anchor, I can't even remember which lake it was, but I'm pretty sure it's not there anymore. And I thought about that, and I thought, that's what God does with us, doesn't He? He takes our past failures, our weaknesses, our sins, and He throws them into the far depths of the sea. Gone, buried, unrecoverable. God gives us a fresh start like He did for Israel. After the total mess up of Achan, now to the city of Ai, God throws away the sin of Israel, restores them, pours out His favor, gives His people the city of Ai. God is not only a God of new beginnings, but God is a God who pours out His favor to us through His presence and through His power, so that His purposes can be accomplished through us. We need not fear or be discouraged in whatever season we're facing in life. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise, because God of Israel says, hey, I've given you a chance. Repent, turn to me. I love you. I'm good. I'm faithful. You can be used for my kingdom. And so today I was thinking, earlier this week when I was going through all these things, I went to our Wednesday staff meetings in the mornings, and there was a song that our senior pastor led, and I didn't choose this song, but he chose this song, and it was at that moment that I was reminded again of the presence and power of God working in my life, and it brought me back to a childlike faith. And it does wonders when you go back to a childlike faith, because all these worries are gone and you don't start to get all these complex issues and you don't look at these nuances anymore, because you just sit at the presence of the Father. You sit with this intimacy and you're just filled with the Spirit. And I just had this childlike faith this whole week after what had happened. Like even yesterday when I was calling my mom, and she was just nagging me. Like that's when you know someone's recovered from COVID, when they start nagging. And she was just nagging me, and I was just on the phone and I was just smiling, because I had this childlike faith again. I wasn't thinking about, oh mom, you're wrong, you're from a different culture, you're from a different society, I'm more advanced. No, just in a childlike faith, just smiling and like, please nag me more. You know? Anyways, to my point, I want us to sing this song. And a lot of us grew up with this song. And as we sing this song, I want you guys to think about your past failures and your weaknesses. And I want you to just lay it before God. And we're going to stand and I'm going to lead you guys and we'll get the worship team to come up. And we're going to sing this song that many of us have sung before. But I want us to take this opportunity to go back into having a childlike faith. And just enjoy this time of intimacy with God the Father. And just lay out every request and every worry, anxiety and depression that we have, and just lay it before God. Let's stand and let's sing this song.